go on a Monday. Oh, it's so snowy. Yeah, they'd be panicking me. Oh, someone needs to go pick up Tom. Oh, hey, Tom.
That was not very nice.
Desperate call comes in at 6:15. Can somebody please come get me?
No, it wasn't a desperate call. And it wasn't until 10 to 7. I've been lifting it in, and today Lyft failed me, and I was surprised. So I was willing. I just told Jacob, listen, I've got till 9 to get there. I'm reading the stuff. I'm prepping. Okay. I'm going to go out and catch the bus. And he says, actually, we've got a couple of drivers out. Paul and Zach are out picking up all sorts of people. So it was shared rides.
That's what
rides.
Happened. We've got people to go out and go get people.
Yeah, Rachel just came in with the same ride that I had.
Would they have come to Sammamish?
I didn't ask.
It was only for essential personnel, so I doubt it. Mr. L.A. Man.
I will get to that.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. The 10 o'clock hour, it's called.
I keep thinking to myself. Oh, I said I need more. Need some good news. So while I was there.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, come back Monday and talk about. All right, I'll tell you about it later. Fresh snow in Seattle. Let's see. You know, it seemed like I drove in. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, once you get out into the main roads, it seemed better than last week,
yes.
Even. That's why I'm surprised that, you know, that Lyft didn't come through with
it. All right, let's hear from our elected officials.
It could be very, very difficult and dangerous during that period of time.
What period of time?
Not very. This was yesterday's sound, I think, yes. So she was anticipating what happened overnight last night.
Okay, let's skip that then. So here she talks about authorities.
They're ready to help you. They know what shelters are open and available. If it appears to be an emergency and someone needs help right away, call 911. The Seattle Police Department is ready to respond. We have a number of vans that will pick people up, take them to shelters.
That's if you're homeless. Yeah, okay. Let's see. The Metro County is still encouraging people to work from home. Okay.
If people can telecommute and flex their schedules, that's a great opportunity. And what that also does is it frees up space on those buses.
So it also hurts our ratings.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah, it does.
All those school kids that are out of school, they don't have their parents driving them.
Killing us.
On the few buses that we can provide and make sure that people who do need to travel have some of that space.
Okay. If you don't have to go out on the roads, don't go out on the roads.
Yeah, okay. I think that's fine. But so what was your experience like? What, you flew in. I mean, you were down there Friday night. You flew in by Saturday. You were here?
Yeah, no problem. Okay. People had some horror stories, not too bad, but flew in Friday and they sat on the tarmac for 2.5 hours.
Right, yes.
That stinks.
Didn't happen to you, though.
No, got in on Sunday morning. There was a couple delays and stuff like that, and then got in there. You know, it was really interesting on Friday going out. The lines for the TSA were unbelievable. I've never seen them so bad.
Yeah.
You know, winding all the way. They wind you around. And they actually took you through Starbucks and then back out through Starbucks. I mean, it was crazy. Super duper long lines. I kept thinking, and people just standing there like cows in line waiting for the charade. And I have the Clear. Do you know what Clear is? Clear is this thing that I pay, I don't know how much, $200
Okay, so you don't have
year.
To wait in that
yeah,
long,
you go right up,
line.
You put your two fingers down, it takes a picture of your eyeball, and then it clears you. And then a nice person there takes your boarding pass, walks you past everybody, and then walks you right up to the TSA guy and just says, they're clear. The TSA guy goes, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to take your ID out.
Yeah.
And then you go right into the one of the lines. You avoid, it saves you about an hour.
It's like the Lexus lane.
Yes. And I felt bad just for a moment. Like, look at this. This really is an example of haves and have nots. Because these people, their time is valued at whatever it's valued at. The government doesn't care because there's no competition. So these people are stuck in these lines. And then I just sort of just jump the whole line because I'm willing to spend $200 in order to have that pass.
Yes.
And for a moment, it's like, this is a perfect example that people talk about the inequities of the world. But I don't have a pair of $200 sneakers on. My priority is to spend the $200 on the Clear, not to spend the $200 on a pair of basketball shoes.
Yes. You would only be a vulgar display of wealth if you had the $200 shoes and you had this Clear.
True.
But anyway, in terms of snow, the most interesting thing about this, even though we were kind of mocking on Friday, John, when you weren't here, we play this clip. A guy from one of the transportation departments said, this could be the biggest snowstorm in 25 to 50 years. With that, this is ridiculous. But the Seattle Times summary said this is it's the most snow we've had in like 30 years, which I find hard to believe. But I just thought that it was a great weekend in Greenwood. Everyone was out and about. It's really fun when it shuts down the city to a certain degree, but people can still walk around their neighborhoods. It had a very cheering effect, at least in North Seattle where I was. I think it's been a relatively good experience as snowstorms go.
You know what I found? Normally, I went into PCC. I don't know why.
Okay.
And people
you had money to burn.
Right. Was that on Thursday? I guess it was on Thursday. I went into PCC in Issaquah. And you could see people were in sort of a panicky mode. You could tell they were all sort of focused. And it's that scarcity mentality you get into where people are not moving their carts or kind of blocking, and you just feel the energy that it's not like, hey, everybody, isn't this kind of crazy and fun, which is normally what happens
right,
with snowstorms.
Yeah.
In this case, it felt like, hey, I've got to get that last loaf of organic oat bread
right.
or whatever. Thank you very much. Well, look at that. Check that out, huh? How about that? Coffee ruts me.
Talk about vulgar displays of wealth. I hope he tipped you.
something coming your way.
Yeah, okay.
I like when snowstorms bring people together
yes.
and there's that feeling of like, hey, isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
But I didn't feel it there on that particular day at PCC because people were trying to get the supplies they so desperately needed. All right, so here's what we expect. The snow is going to pick back up again this afternoon sometime around 1?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Sometime in the afternoon.
That this is the one. Here's the one we're talking about. This could drop anywhere between 4 and 8 inches in Seattle. And then Tuesday, it switches over to a rain, slow, ice
and
mix.
And that's still evolving because I heard Nick Allard this morning say that the rain could be tonight. In other words, what we don't know is the rain going to make our present snow situation better or worse? If it starts melting the snow, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, if it stays cold and it's a rain, snow, slush,
yeah.
it could, and then freeze, it could be even worse. So we'll just have to see. But yeah, this afternoon's drive, time could be tough.
Everything on Saturday was closed. It was so weird, and it wasn't that bad out. I was just like, oh, it's a little wet, but every store was closed.
Anticipatory,
yeah. Yeah, but I guess, and I wonder if you owned a store, you're thinking, oh, crap. I mean, that's a day of revenue I've thrown out. Half. None of my employees came in. They don't get paid. They probably don't make the money on that day.
So, Tom Douglas has a cooking show on, or a restaurant, a food show on Cairo over the weekends. And I was listening to them, and he was laughing about how last week during certain days, 9 of his 15 restaurants were closed. And then Terry Rotaro, who also co-hosts the show with him, he has 2 restaurants. And he says he managed to keep both of his restaurants open. And he says what was interesting was they were both packed because there were so many restaurants closed that he was the beneficiary. So, if you could stay open, you probably did quite well.
There's always the chance for people that live outside the area to mock how we react to snow here in Seattle. And you get somebody from Minnesota or the Midwest or from New York or Philadelphia or something that normally gets a heck of a lot of snow. And then they have reactions to, you wouldn't believe how people are reacting here in Seattle. Now, the bad thing about Twitter is it makes you feel important. And it sometimes makes you not necessarily responsive if your jokes are bombing. You crack a joke and you don't get a laugh. You sort of know, okay, that didn't work. But you can send out 140-some characters of just stink bomb one after another thinking these are really hitting. You have no feedback, Tom.
You are really throwing this guy to the wolves, aren't you?
Well, first of all, again, remember, reading from me is hard. I'm putting a lot of energy in it, so it better be a payoff. I read through, 40 of these things?
Yeah.
I think I laughed at one.
I know. I think there are a couple. So let's set you up nicely. He sends out the guy's name, Daniel Silverman. Como News does this. Do we have sound that it would be easier to play from Como? Okay, so anyway, his first tweet was, remember, he's a transplant. I'm not quite sure where, but I've never witnessed anything quite like Seattle grocery stores when locals are preparing to brave 4 to 5 inches of snow. That's kind of a snarky
comment.
That's
your setup.
But it sets up. Like, people are stocking up on emergency tomatoes and leaving water jugs on the shelves. And antique stationery sets in case email servers go down.
By the way, he's not getting a rim shot on every one.
Because
even the drummer's like, what?
Now here, you should like this one because you just referenced it. PCC is still fully stocked. Too expensive, even for the looters.
I laughed at that one.
Oh, you did? Okay, that's good. People are burning first drafts of their novels for warmth. Society is breaking down. Rival Pokemon Go teams are establishing enclaves and fighting over territory.
Okay, that might have been mildly amusing 2 years ago. Right.
Now, here's the best one.
All right.
If you didn't laugh at that, you just didn't understand it.
Right.
It's like Mad Max, but with Amazon Prime vans. You don't think that's funny? You don't know what Mad Max is, do you? You've never saw Mad Max.
I saw Mad Max.
Oh, Anyway, I think that's the best one. You don't like that one. I got more where that came from.
I'm going to do them for you.
Okay, right? Good.
It's crazy. It's crazy out there. Paper money's worthless. I mean, just nuts. Cans of hard cider brewed from obscure fruits you've never heard of. That's the new currency of the land. It's crazy. It's wild out there. Hey, I saw some gluten-free bread lines on my way in. I mean, it's wild. The snow is just crazy. It's just crazy what people are doing out here, right? I mean, I just saw they ate Howard Schultz.
What? They just ate. What did you say?
Yeah, they just ate Howard Schultz.
I misheard it. So, then we got to get this one in. The city's lone snowplow is stuck somewhere on the 5. And then, about 2 minutes later, I have many regrets as I prepare to meet my end. Mistakes I've made. People I've hurt. Referring to I-5 as the 5 is my greatest one. Transplant.
It's nuts. I mean, it's just crazy out there. I mean, people are crocheting beanies as fast as they can. Okay, I'm done.
You're all making me feel very welcome here. I love Seattle. It's a shame we'll all be dead by morning. Okay, or possibly
stop.
Later today.
Stop. That's the problem with Twitter. You think you're doing good jokes. I know, because I bombed on Friday.
I'll tell you about it
at 10 o'clock. It didn't go well.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Let me tease you with this. I remember watching a Madonna documentary. And she goes backstage at the end of her show, and she is, and Warren Beatty's there. Remember this scene?
Yeah, I vaguely.
And she's screaming about industry people.
Mm-hmm.
Who lets
those industry people
sit in the row? I want those industry people out of there. I don't want to look down at their faces. Because
they don't respond like a fan would.
Right.
Yes. Not enough curly fans in L.A.? Well, then no wonder you're so sympathetic to this guy, Not.
Not at all, because you know what? I got good stuff. I got fresh stuff, all right?
Do you have fresh stuff like this? Siri, can you eat lip balm?
You guys suck.
All right. So when are we going to hear about the debacle in L.A.?
I don't know. 9:30.
9:30.
Oh, coming up. I can't wait.
I really thought it was going to be something. I really did. I went down there. All right. Washington voters say yes to that gun law. They got hornschnuckled on that one. It's not going to save any lives, but everybody feels good about it. Now, 13 county sheriffs say, we're not going to enforce it. I think they say it's unconstitutional. Here is Klickitat County. This is Bob Songer talks to Jason Rantz about why he refuses to enforce 1639.
Washington State Constitution, Article 1, Section 24, states the right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired. I believe I have the authority and right to protect the rights of the citizens of Klickitat County that I serve.
Mustache or no mustache on that guy, Tom?
Either a cowboy hat or a mustache, but not both.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
Bet a dollar just to make it fun?
Sure, why not?
Andrew?
Yes?
Oh, there you are. Look up Klickitat County Sheriff Bob, S-O-N-G-E-R. We're going to look for either a mustache or cowboy hat, but not both. Got it?
First images here have neither.
Oh, no mustache, no cowboy hat.
Not even any hair.
We didn't ask you about the hair. Oh, fine.
Then I think I won.
Hold on. Moving on. This is Chelan County Sheriff Brian Burnett. Talk to KOHO.
I'm in favor of really seeing this come down, and I'm hoping in favor that the courts could potentially find this in violation of the Constitution and settle it. But either way, I don't think it's my opinion that matters so much as much as the courts. And there's a system there that we have to follow. And as soon as we no longer follow that system, then we're going to walk away and abandon everything that America was created for.
Yeah, the idea is you can't pick and choose, right?
Yes.
And it gets challenged in court. The problem is that the Supreme Court of Washington, that's the last stay. You can't really go anywhere from there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have all Democrats and all liberals sitting there on the court, because those are the ones that run and those are the ones that serve, you're going to get a position that is more liberal and more from the Democratic side in the court, and then you're just done. That's it. You can't do anything.
So then that's the real question for these 13. And by the way, if you're wondering why these 13, those were 13 counties that voted against it.
Yes.
So clearly, and if it's an elected position like it is here, I'm assuming that they have it's a smart political move on their part, but it's I think it's philosophically indefensible if the idea is you have to defend the law of the land, whether you like it or not. And that's what that second guy said. He hopes that it's declared unconstitutional, but it's not our job to determine it. It's for the courts to decide.
Well, you could just sort of passively not enforce it.
Well, no, that's what they said. In fact, what's interesting about this situation is it's discretion. There's always discretion. You always prioritize. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're not saying, oh, we have limited resources, so that's going to be lower in our priority, they're not saying that. They're saying, this is unconstitutional and it's outrageous. The Seattle Times summary of this, they go through and they say none of them will say what's unconstitutional about it. They keep citing the Second Amendment. It doesn't do anything with the Second Amendment. What it does do is allow you have to be 21 to buy a shotgun or a semi-automatic weapon, and that all that does is equal it with what how old you have to be to buy a handgun. So there's no constitutional issue there. Each of those things, there are six states or 19 states or something like that, I forget what the number is, that already allow for safe storage rules. That they're at this point, they haven't articulated their opinion in a legalistic way or in any kind of a constitutionally challenged way. It's basically, as they say, it's NRA rhetoric that they've now adopted, but it's probably irrelevant to their case.
Well, we'll see. So the case is they are being challenged.
Yes.
Did the courts say that you can't move forward because it hasn't been implemented yet, so therefore you can't challenge it in court?
It doesn't even go until July 1st, so it's not going to be. But once July 1st hits, then it'll be officially challenged.
By the way, you'll see little or no change as far as people being shot and killed with guns, because most people die either by their own hands through a handgun or a small, very teeny tiny percentage of people use
rifles.
But
it might have, that tragic case last week, you know, where the 4-year-old shoots his mom because I don't know if it was
finds it under
her
husband. A bed or between the mattress or something like that. Yeah,
I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's a tough part. All right, let's see. Fast break, come back, and what do we got next?
Your demise. I can't wait.
Plus, we'll also talk Grammys. Obama makes an unnecessary appearance, go crazy for
Zaz.
That.
Yes.
She
was. It was like all of a sudden they didn't know who she was until she started speaking, and then they cheered. It's like she'd been standing out there for like a minute.
I know how she feels. All right, back.
What did Michelle Obama and John Kirby have in common?
Laura's Home Loans. Thank you, Laura Keel. That's right, last name Keel. You know, she does a great job when it comes to mortgages. The Keel name is synonymous with great customer service, and Laura's got the best people working for her. 833-ASK-LAURA. 833-ASK-LAURA.
That was Friday's show.
It was fantastic.
Wanting?
It was great. Well, we were wanting you, as in needing you. But Jason, I haven't had a chance to fill in with Jason for years, so
it was fun. He's still really angry. He's thinner, but is he still angry?
Yes, well, he's against it every time something came up.
Okay. All right, good.
He's more whiny than angry, I think.
Okay. 2 years ago, I did an auction, and a guy saw me and said, hey, would you want to do the Grammy auction? Didn't even know there was one. Took two years for me to get there. The lady calls me on the phone 2 months ago. What will you charge? I said, nothing. How about airfare? No. How about hotel? No, nothing. I don't need anything. I want to be on stage. I want to be in front of 2,800 people. I want to do your auction. I want to follow Katy Perry or Chris Stapleton or Dolly Parton or Miley Cyrus. I just want to be on that stage.
Generous offer. Because the reaction was going to be so strong.
Yes.
That you're going to make that up a hundredfold.
Yeah. Because I'm in front of 2,800, you know, entertainment people.
Yeah, of moguls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
Right. So you get.
How much should you charge them?
I don't know.
In retrospect, I'll just tell the story.
This is actually a recording of a soundcheck of Jolene, sung by Pink.
By who?
Pink.
Pink, oh, okay.
Pink, yeah. So it's a beautiful stage, and it's gorgeous, and you watch all the stars come up, because I got there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I hung out for a little while, and I was waiting for my sound check. So she finishes, and then Willie Nelson goes. So I'm seeing all the stars.
Okay, this isn't a performance. This is their
rehearsal time.
This is
their sound check. Everybody's doing a sound check. Right. So, and I'm like, wow, this is – and you got 15 cameras. I mean, it's a real deal. It's gorgeous.
Cool.
All right. So when it comes to the actual show, I'm waiting backstage. They make you wait there half hour. I'm sitting there waiting backstage. And one guy says to me, you just need to fill 15 minutes because we got to switch the one stage for Norah Jones. So you got to fill 15 so we can get Norah Jones' stage set. So just whatever you have to do, just make sure you take up 15 minutes. I was like, okay.
Well, that's nothing. You do 3 hours a day.
That's right. I was thinking. So these guys come out. All you got to do is smile, smile. Right. Okay. Casey Musgraves, who wins Album of the Year.
Yes.
Katy Perry sings as well. Okay, and Dolly Parton's there.
Yeah.
So it's a big, big deal. They do their number, right? And the place goes absolutely crazy, screaming and yelling, "Never senses, here we come again."
Sure.
And then they finishes. Huge applause.
Yeah.
Huge. And then, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage your auctioneer, John Curley. Well, the distance from the side, where they wouldn't let me step any further out, to where I needed to be, was a good quarter mile. And when you're walking out there and there's no applause, I'm sort of doing the half jog, and then I look desperate, so now I'm just doing the quick walk, and I'm doing the half jog, like I may or may not be light for a flight. And I get to the front of the stage, and Tom, it's silent.
Yeah.
And they're looking at me like, where's Willie Nelson?
Yeah.
Because I'm not there to sing.
An auction?
I'm just a guy with white hair, and I got the glasses on and the tuxedo, and people are just literally staring at me. Everybody, how you been to Les? First joke bomb, second joke bomb, third joke bomb, and now my mouth goes completely dry. I have no spit. I'm like, all right, it's a signed Gibson double O guitar. Like two of these guitars in the world, one owned by that lady right there. Oh, God. It was awful.
So were there any bidders?
It wasn't until the end.
Okay.
It was a silly item, spend time with Dolly Parton at Dollywood, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Miley Cyrus bids at $50,000, and then some other rich guy goes. So she goes 60, he goes 65, she goes 70, then 75, then 80. Yeah. And Miley Cyrus is like 10 feet from me. She goes, hey! I'm competitive in everything, but this is ridiculous.
And I blame the auctioneer.
Right? So I go, we're just doing this, right? So then the guy goes 90, she goes 95, then 100.
Yeah.
So now we're at $100,000.
Wow.
And Miley goes, please, oh my God, please, stop this. I said, Miley, this is an auction.
Yeah.
I can't stop it. And some lady goes, just sell two. I said, well, I'd like to sell two, but I can't. It's up to Dolly. So now Dolly's sitting there, then Miley, and now the whole thing stops.
And they consult with their lawyers. Can we afford to do this twice?
Right now it's just dead. So I got to fill the space. And I told the guy in the back, I said, listen, if I need to stretch, I'm going to sing Gordon Lightfoot's Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And the guy's like, you're kidding. I said, no, I got the whole song memorized. It's 14 minutes long. If I have to, I'm going into it. Find Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So
I think we all know how it goes. It's basically a dirge.
That's close enough. So while they're figuring it out, I said, ask Dolly. And then I said, and in the meantime, I'll sing this classic sea shanty from Gordon Lightfoot, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The guy in the back begins to play it.
Really?
Yeah, they're playing it for me. And I'm like, it's 14 minutes long, by the way. I hate to be a spoiler, but everybody dies in the end. There won't be a dry eye in the house.
And still no reaction?
No, I got a laugh.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So it took you 14 minutes to warm up the crowd, and you had a minute left.
And the worst part, Tom, the worst part. Let me know when you find it, because I got the whole song memorized. Worst part was, I'm standing around backstage, because I got there so early. And they're like, well, this is going to be your dressing room. Well, my dressing room was really just the general green room dressing room.
Okay.
So everybody's coming in and out, Reese Witherspoon, Dolly Parton.
But
it's like they're just there to get snacks and leave. So it's me sitting on this couch.
Taking your pants off.
polishing my shoes. And then I'm waiting. What do I want to get? Did you find it? Then what I wanted to get was, all I wanted was the bag, right?
The goodies bag.
The goodie bag.
Yeah.
Because I bragged about that. Bulova watch.
Yes.
Jewelry. Handmade men's Mexican boots. makeup and overnight stays at resorts around the world. That was in the swag bag for the stars. So I was told that I would get one.
Yeah,
right?
You read me
I showed you the
contract.
Piece of paper.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm standing there and I'm going, oh, that's a nice Bulova watch. Because they take you into this special room where all that stuff happened. Then they want to get a picture with each star next to each one of these things. That's the way it works. So Chris Stapleton puts on the watch. They get a picture of him. Okay, so I'm standing there in line waiting. And I walk up and I'm picked up the Bulova watch.
Yeah.
And the woman said, and you would be... That is a sentence that no one has else in the world ever has to answer. That's not a sentence that most or question most people are asked at any other time. And you would be...
The world's greatest charity auctioneer, John.
And you would be... And as soon as they ask that, it basically means get your hands off the stinking watch. And I said, I'm talent. I got the talent sticker on. Says I'm talent. She goes, and that would be. And I said, I'm the auctioneer. She goes, oh, well, great. I will have fun tonight.
And didn't give you the bowl.
My swag bag was filled with all the crap that was in my green room. Almonds, salted and unsalted. hand sanitizers, right? And I think I got a Frisbee that unfolds and you could stick it back into a case of some sort. I'm surprised it wasn't 10 mouse pads in there.
Yeah.
Like, what a pile of crap.
Hopefully it was some Fuji water to dry your dry mouth.
Oh, my God. It was brutal. It was that's where you say the industry people.
Yeah.
They don't want to see you. They're not there for the auction. They don't care. They want to see the next guy. And I was hardly anything I could do. Only one other laugh I got was the guy's bidding. And I said, bid again. Come on. You can do this. You've never quit anything in your life. You've never quit anything. Okay. You quit high school wrestling because it made you feel all kind of weird and tingly. Like the first time you showered at gym class and with other guys. Same sort of tingly feeling. Weird. It made you feel weird about yourself. And the guy goes, I got the joke already. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
What a takedown. You should go back to wrestling. That was a great takedown.
Chippewa on down to the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Big lake they say never gets up or dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
Okay, I'll give up two already, says Dolly Parton.
With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the good ship in Zero weighed empty. All right.
So,
there are
not a lot of people that can say that they were yelled at by Miley Cyrus.
That was true. That was the only thing that my kids seemed to be impressed by.
Is that right? Yeah.
I was like, wait.
Miley Cyrus
talked
to you.
You were really, Miley Cyrus is talking to you? I was like, yes, Miley Cyrus is talking to me.
You twerked together, you should have told him.
And the other thing I tried to do was get on the red carpet. I'll just play this for you real fast. So this is what it sounds like on the red carpet. Right? I wanted to get on the red carpet because I wanted to see, I've got the badge that gets me in there, right?
Yeah.
So why can't I be part of this? This is what it sounds like.
This is Miley on the red carpet.
Oh, wow. Are you stalking her?
No, I was right behind her. They pulled me off the red carpet. And so they're yelling, Miley, this way, look here, because the paparazzi's all right there taking pictures of her, right? Yeah. Miley. And at that point, the guy goes, excuse me, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm next in the red carpet. And the guy goes, I'm going to have to ask you to step off.
Oh, no. Yeah. And you are who?
And you be who?
But did you actually auction a few things off before the big one?
I sold three things. I raised $275,000, maybe $300,000 they raised.
Okay, so that's something at least.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't a complete bust.
No.
And let me tell you, they got what they paid for.
Okay, well, I'll just say this in defense of myself for my fragile ego. The Grammy executive in charge of financing and executive production of events for the Grammy, so she ran the whole Grammy organization, said, I don't know why you're thanking us. We should be thanking you for an incredible performance. We've never seen anything like it. The energy. You are brilliant. The energy on stage was terrific. I've heard nothing but positive feedback from a few.
She almost had it till that last word.
I'm looking forward
to
working with you again sometime in the near future. There you go.
Yeah, and then you responded, this time I'm going to charge you. So it wasn't as bad. You felt mortified, but it wasn't as bad as
I was thinking I was going to come in here like a cat's meow.
Right, yeah, that's right. With Miley Cyrus on your arm.
Showbiz. By the way, the Wreck of the MF Fitzgerald song is still going on. You can write to us, the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973, 98973. Thanks, everybody, for jumping on in, being part of the show. You can also come through the other doors, the MyNorthWest.com, or, of course, the Facebook page makes it a great big happy family here at 1147 when we read all of your letters. All right, let's see. Hungarian women will be paid to have more kids.
Well, not just more kids. They have to have a lot more kids. They have to have at least four or more.
Do they have to love any of them or just have them?
No, I think right now, this is very bottom line, right wing, populist rhetoric, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So if you haven't been keeping up with your Hungarian news, they've elected this very far right anti-immigrant prime minister named Viktor Orban. And he's doing all he can to sort of make the anti-immigrant fervor fester even more. And one of his claims is that right now what's happening to Europe is that we have a low birth rate and everyone's leaving my country, Hungary, to go to the bigger European countries now that they were, enjoined into the EU. So they have a real problem. They do not have enough people in their country. Mm-hmm. And the way other terrible countries are handling it, he claims, is that they are allowing for a lot more immigrants and even worse, Muslim immigrants. And after all, Hungary is a Christian country. And if we lose our stake, you know, our Christianity is going to go the way of the dodo bird. We have to fight this. So he's giving all sorts of breaks to Hungarians who have children.
Mm-hmm.
And so his proposal now is that Hungarians, if they have four children or more, they will not have to pay income tax for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
And the idea is that he says, I would rather replace Hungarians with real Hungarians and not people, immigrants, who might not even be Christian to come into my town. I think it's just awful, but it's the political practice that he's putting into effect. And he ran on that campaign, to his credit.
And he won.
He ran and he won.
Right. He had seen what's happening in other countries as well. And you see Germany now backpedaling on their immigration policy. You also see, was it Sweden or Norway or Denmark, one of those countries, that has now gone into the sort of the no-go zone, they called it, those areas where it's all Muslim ghettos. And they've said, we're knocking down those buildings. We're going to take your kids from you. And 6 hours a day, we will train them on how to be, was it Norwegian?
No. Yeah, it was one of the Scandinavian countries. But no, what they were doing is they were forced
assimilation. Forced assimilation.
That's right.
What they realize is,
I know, but
if you cut a Tom, doesn't it? These are all extremes or all sort of degradations of doing something
gradations.
About degradations.
Okay, as long as
people
you
coming
that.
In, right? So you have hard right on Hungary saying, listen, we're going to pay you to have more kids.
Yes.
You could go where we're going to force your kids to come in and be brainwashed into our culture.
Yes. It's not, first off, it's not forced and it's not brainwashed.
You cannot, it's not optional as to whether your kids go there for 6 hours or not.
It's not 6 hours a day. You're making it sound, like anti-Semitism in a country is just like the Holocaust. No, they're huge differentiations. And the reason Scandinavia and Europe is pulling back is because they've been so generous. Here's a country that wasn't generous at all, and because their own economy is lousy, they're blaming France and Germany and
sure
and whatever, England, from taking their people.
Everybody's reacting.